Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast.
Hey now!
With Kate Rhodes.
And Maysoon Wazwaz.
It's a year anniversary.
We don't even have a song! Why don't we make a song?
Anniversary. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Pine Tree. Oh my God, that was the worst
we did
ever.
It. And now no one will listen again. On May 31st, Mel Perest wrote into us on the Bird World, "What about a podcast on ethics in the art world?" So, to kick it right off the bat, as I said in the last episode, we're going to say morals are decided by an individual. They're an individual person's compass of right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Ethics, on the other hand, are decided by a group or a society, such as jugglers or cowboys or dog walkers. Also differentiate between right and wrong conduct, but as decided by a group, not on an individual level.
And it's like it's in reference to the group, not to individuals within the group. You wouldn't necessarily use a code of ethics to determine how you would act as an individual. Those would be your, I mean.
No, you would.
They could.
I think that's kind of part of the point of ethics.
But I feel
is that, you know, it's to help you make decisions. Like when you're making decisions for yourself.
But I think like I'm thinking about myself right now. How I would think about myself as an individual outside of my workplace. Those are two different like ways of thinking for me. Like how I might act as a museum employee or as an arts administrator, that my decisions will be guided by a different kind of set of or a different code of ethics surrounding what's ethical in that within like whatever power I have in that structure, right? Versus like when I'm just at home feeding the cats, deciding if I want to like do something or something else. I don't know. Like that, I'm not using the same code.
Well, that's interesting because there are codes of ethics that extend to the group members when they are not functioning as part of that
group.
And a lot of things in your private life do have an effect.
I mean, I think they're related, but I just think I'm not necessarily following a same code of ethics when I'm in. I mean, which
can you give an example? Like, you're not going to conduct yourself in a professional manner when you're not in a professional setting, like when you're getting ready for bed or something. Like, you're not going to, like, give everyone handshakes every time you come home from work.
Right, and I guess then there's
but
also...
But that isn't necessarily part of a code of ethics. It's just part of, like, I think that's more of a social moray than an ethical issue.
Yeah. Like, I know sometimes at the museum, students will ask us how to price their work.
Uh-huh.
One of my co-workers will say, we absolutely can't advise on that. It's not ethical.
Oh,
and
really?
I kind of don't agree.
Huh.
So maybe we just have a different code of ethics around that.
Well, what would be the ethical conflict?
I think because I don't actually think she's correct in saying that, to tell you the truth, but it's just not important enough for me to, it's
well, because the museum doesn't get a cut of that
we
money.
Don't get a single cut. It's like, we're not, you know.
So
if someone sold work for $10,000 because of a museum show, that would be more valuable for the artist than it would be for us, you know, for the institution. As far as like reputation, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think it is kind of like one hand cleans the other or whatever, where like, you know, if they get more clout out mm-hmm. there in the commercial art world,
then that's,
and then they're like, oh, well, they had a show at the Mills Museum, then, you know, that brings yeah, more notoriety
that
to the museum
as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I actually could see how I guess that could be a problem. Well, that was a good ethical question.
It was weird to read about ethics this week. And also, I mean, to read about ethics and to try to think about how it's different from values and morals and all that stuff. And when you pare down the definition, it seems so black and white to me, or cut and dry. It's like good, how you determine good versus bad or right versus wrong.
Well, what do you mean seems so cut and dry?
Well, just like, are we really, is it really about what's good and bad and what's right and wrong? That just seems so.
Well, then we're getting into meta ethics.
Right.
Where we're talking about the ethics of ethics.
Oh, yeah, I'm into that.
Oh,
I like that.
No.
Well, kind of, though, because it's like, how can any body of people or any one person determine what's good or bad or right or wrong. It seems ridiculous to me.
Oh, this is why there is no clear code of ethics in the art world, because we're all like wishy-washy anarchists.
And probably anywhere. I mean, really.
No, there are lots of clear codes of ethics.
Within like entire fields or just within like one company?
Oh, yeah. Remember, I looked them all up. The Cowboys Code of Ethics, the Jugglers, like the Dog Walkers trainers.
Of America or Dog Walkers of the World? Really?
Yeah, Dog Walkers of America. There's a Figure Skating Association of America has a code of ethics.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I guess probably sports, probably, I imagine a lot
every,
of sports
every
groups
field,
would have code of ethics.
Almost every field I looked up had some kind of code of ethics.
God damn it. And we don't, huh?
Well, I mean, I found people that had written essays about it, you know, and I'm sure like the Museum Association of America has a code of ethics.
I'm sure of it.
Jesus.
How many points are there?
So many. Okay, so the
we should look at those
American Alliance of Museums has so much.
AAM.
I mean, it's broken down by governance, collections. Governance promotes the public good rather than the individual financial gain. I could mark off plenty of art museums that don't follow that. Wouldn't you say, Mason?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There are many codes of ethics, but I thought it was clear, especially looking at like the, I've looked at one that was for like computer workers. People don't follow that shit. Or the chef's code of ethics.
Oh God, what's that like,
don't ever try to impede the progress of another chef's career.
What? Yeah. Look at all the TV shows out there.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
It's all about competition.
But that's why we have codes of ethics, so that when things happen where someone has violated that code, it's like the anomaly, not the norm, hopefully.
Yeah.
And so many were the same, from the skateboarders to the fucking cowboys to so on and so on. We'll have links to all these ones that we looked up. So many are just the same, you know, don't lie, don't do bullshit to other people and act like a dick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think especially though in the art world where things are so nuanced, and I'm sure other worlds do, but just this is the one we're in. It's like easy to break those social agreements without necessarily meaning to. So anyhow, we asked everyone we've ever interviewed to call in and leave us a message.
Sure did.
Asking for one guideline or rule of thumb. Let me just read the email we sent them.
Sure. It's a good email.
What one ethical guideline or rule of thumb would you like to institute in the art world? We know there are many art worlds, so interpret that however you want. Take it as seriously or not seriously as you want. No pressure. I have to say, everyone that called in took it pretty seriously.
Yeah.
And then here are some examples we had from The Circle Players, a 1945 theater company. I shall remember my business is to create illusion. Therefore, I shall not break the illusion by appearing in costume and makeup off stage or outside the theater. I think that's one for the mascots at Disney World, too.
Yeah.
From the American Library Association, we protect each library user's right to privacy and confidentiality with respect to information sought or received and resources consulted, borrowed, acquired, or transmitted. But they do give that shit up to the FBI.
They have been known to.
Yeah.
Although they have also been known to fight that.
That's how they got the Unabomber. I don't know if that's true. I just made that up.
Oh, God.
From a dog trainer's code of ethics, make no guarantees about behavior outcomes, as it is considered unethical in our industry to do so. We recommend you carefully review any dog professional who offers such guarantees. No one can guarantee the behavior of another living organism.
True that.
From the Association for Computing Machinery, this was the one. They had a code of ethics so long.
Really?
You wouldn't believe.
It's probably all about like how to behave around all that machinery, don't you think? Right?
I mean, think it seems these like are computer programmers.
Oh.
Be encouraged to volunteer professional skills to good causes and contribute to public education concerning the discipline.
Wow.
From the United States Figure Skating Association, and this is from their code of ethics for the parents of skaters.
For the parents of skaters?
For the parents of skaters. I will respect my child's coach and refrain from coaching my child or other skaters during competitions and practices because it may conflict with the coach's plan or strategies. Yeah. So all these things are things that are probably not followed by all these groups. Not always. But thank God we have something I don't know. There's something kind of utopian about ethical codes. Okay, so let's go through some of these.
All right.
Okay, Carrie Hott.
Carrie Hott.
Thanks for the prompt and the reminder to think about ethics. My rule of thumb that I'd love to suggest is to be transparent. If there were some way to have some kind of standard of transparency, that's probably different for every situation, but as much as possible, clearly stating how a decision is made, who is involved, etc. And perhaps if everything was more above board, people would just, by way of that, be more ethical. And maybe some things would be surprising or disappointing, but if it's all above board, maybe less so. So, and then I'd just like to throw in, don't be an asshole and write people back.
Transparency.
To be transparent.
Yep.
I mean, I think that's definitely geared towards the institution, don't you think? Like, primarily?
Probably everybody.
But when I think of transparency, and even her example, you know, like, how was the decision made? Who made the decision?
Yeah.
To me, that's like when you're an artist applying for something and you have no idea how that works or...
Sure.
You know, transparency to me always, I always think of like a group or an institution, museum, gallery, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
And just showing the process, like being honest and open about that process.
I think that could apply to artists too, though, because I feel like a lack of transparency is what made the idea that the art world is a meritocracy. That's what makes it possible. It's all the opaqueness, how people get a break, who they know, what they mm-hmm. do to get ahead in their career.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of transparency around that.
Do you think that's artists?
Kind of understandable.
Do you think that's artists keeping it opaque, or yeah. is that the institutions they're working for keeping it opaque?
Both, but artists too. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, everyone, the Compensation Foundation. I know you've had some shows, haven't you, listener? And you want to fill out a survey about those shows and how you were compensated.
Yeah.
So go check it out, compensationfoundation.org.
I mean, it's nice for nonprofits. You can get, you know, the 990 forms are available for anyone to see, which sort of...
In terms of transparency.
Yeah, it tells you how much those groups are making, what their budgets are, how much their upper officer, what type people are getting paid.
Yeah, but that's only so much of what really goes on inside. Like how the workers are treated.
Totally.
You know, how the artists are selected, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we had our good friend, Christian Frock.
Hey, Pine Tree. It's your friend, Christian Frock, calling to say happy first birthday. And my gift to you is an imperfect answer to your question about ethics in the art world. I spent so much time thinking about this that I very nearly missed the deadline because I wanted to have a perfect answer for you. In order to think about ethics, I did a little bit of research and I came up with this really handy ethical app that you can download from the University of Santa Clara Markula Center for Applied Ethics. And it's also web-based, so you can find it under ethical decisions if you do a search on how to make an ethical decision. And thinking a lot about how we define ethics and what sort of encapsulates good ethics or ethical treatment in the art world. And the Markula Center for Applied Ethics determines this with five factors. The first is utility, so deciding does the action produce the most good and the least harm for all who are affected. Another thing they take into consideration is rights. Does it respect the rights of everyone who has a stake? Does it give everyone dignity, justice? Does action treat people equally or, you know, proportionally? This ethical decision that we're trying to make, is everyone given their fair due? The common good, and does the action best serve the community as a whole, not just some members? And virtue, lastly, does the option lead me to act as a sort of person I want to be? So those are the five elements of determining an ethical decision as put forward by the Markula Center for Applied Ethics free app that you can download. And so my contribution to you, Pine Tree, for your birthday is to say that I believe in the art community, one of the most important code of ethics that we could have is that it has to do with dismantling a monoculture and making it so that we hear from and we see and we experience a really broad range of perspectives and voices and difference as much as possible. I don't actually think anything matters more.
Did you check out that internet thing?
The from the Markkula Center for Applied Ethics free app?
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance
yet. It's good, but it's pretty involved. Is it? You have to do a fair amount of writing.
I think I clicked on it and I was like, well, I'm not quite ready for this amount of involvement yet. So back to it.
I did one on just a fake problem, like a fake ethical problem. And it actually was pretty thorough in how it helps you make the decision.
Does it ask you a series of questions?
Well, it kind of guides you through kind of measuring like these, yeah, like how fair it is and how. But check that out. There's a link to that in the underworld. Thank you so much, Christian. Yeah. Thank you, everyone who called in. And everyone who didn't call in is probably an unethical asshole. Here's a great one.
Hi, congratulations, Pine Trees. Christine Wong, yeah. If I have one ethical guideline, it's don't be a jerk. To kind of elaborate on that, because there's situations where you don't always know what the jerky thing is. It's to try to be the artist you would admire and respect. I think there's a lot of times where there's gray areas about what opportunities you should take, what money you should take, or what you should say no to. And usually when you put it in those terms about an artist who you would admire and respect and think about what they would do, your answer becomes a lot clearer. Personally, I also have a pet peeve. It's when institutions are disloyal to the workers who have been loyal to them. So I think that's a really strong area where ethics can come into play. And also, I think a lot of artists who become successful, like, there's a lot of things that are happening for them. It's hard work and persistence and this kind of art world machinery. And then just right time, right place type of thing. But also, it really is about acknowledging that people make it happen too. So just for folks to stay humble enough to acknowledge the humans who make their work as well.
I love don't be a jerk.
I know, Christine Wong, yep.
That's another one where almost every code of ethics that we looked at had something equivalent to don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
Seems like there should be less jerks in the world. Well, you know, everyone has their jerky moments.
I like, you know, this is part of Don't Be a Jerk, but I liked her pet peeve where she said, when institutions are disloyal to the workers who've been loyal to them. I was like, yeah, you go, Christine.
Okay, our old pal Dorothy Santos.
Dorothy.
I wanted to answer this question seriously, and then maybe not so seriously. But in all honesty, I think the first thing that came to my mind when I read the question a few times was this idea of radical inclusion that is more often known to activist groups. But what I mean by that is, you know, if there's kind of this dissonance or disagreement with what someone says regarding if it's a movement, an artwork, an artist's practice, a curator's practice, anything like that, I feel that people should aim, or a guideline would be, if you disagree, search your feelings like a good Jedi master and ask yourself what is upsetting about the artwork or the exhibition or a person's take or opinion and perspective that is different from your own. Because I feel that when you take a step back and ask yourself, why am I angry? Why do I disagree? What are the things that are competing with what I'm trying to do? I feel that when people don't have these snap judgments and start creating a ruckus and get riled up, I kind of feel like when people take that step back, that's really radical. Because I think a lot of people in this day and age with social media and how quickly information is disseminated, it's so easy for people to get so defensive and combative. And in the art world, of all places in the world, art communities should not be like that towards one another. And that's across all genres. And a guideline, a rule of thumb that would be not so serious is an artist or a cultural producer or a gallerist or a curator would have to, you know, do something in the art world that makes them feel ridiculously uncomfortable.
Radical inclusion.
Hey, Kate and Mason, this is Ethan. You can use this for the show. I'm out here somewhere, God knows. I think I'm in Nevada. And thinking about this ethics thing for like a week, and I guess all I've come up with is we all kind of know the whole thing's broken. And I don't even mean just sort of the mainstream art world. I kind of think even the smaller ones, the various scenes we have, get so prone to nepotism and just sort of recreate the mistakes of the larger umbrella art world. And I think we're all just doing our best. So I guess, you know, dovetailing on the idea of just treating others how you want to be treated, I guess to me it just seems like I hope that at least, you know, where I'm injecting myself or where I succeed, just to try to make it a little bit more free for others. And I think maybe it's kind of like the same thing as doing to others how you want to be treated, that sort of thing. But a little bit further, because we all have particular abilities to get into different scenes, whether that's because of our gender or because of our race or whatever the hell is going on. So I don't know. I guess I think it's important that, you know, we all kind of look at the picture and say this thing has always been broken maybe, but we know damn well it's broken now. And, you know, so we just got to do our part to make it a little bit, leave it a little bit better and a little bit more free. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm always writing letters Monday morning. That's what I can do. And I guess we all can do whatever we can to try to help other people get a foothold. So, yeah, that's my idea. And what I was wondering now is if you could sample either Billy Madison, the scene where he graduates and he says woohoo for school. If you don't want to do that one, I was thinking also you could sample, there's a scene in Badlands where he says a speech after they've gone to prison. And the speech says something about always seeking out the minority opinion. Anyway, those are words of wisdom about ethics that I can stand behind.
Our number one pine cone.
Pine cones!
Just another, you know, don't be a jerk, do unto others. Really, Jesus made the code of ethics for the art world, people. Okay, moving on.
Jesus.
Hi, this is Wofford, and one ethical guideline or rule of thumb that I would like to institute in the art world is if you see something, say something, which I recognize is problematic because that's the Department of Homeland Security's slogan, but I think maybe for our purposes it could be like, you know what, call people out. If this is an egregiously poorly curated show that's totally racist or sexist or whatever, like, or you can see that things are being organized along exclusivity lines, then say something about it. Don't let it just be the way it is because you're trying to be cool about it. Okay, that is all.
Yeah. I at first I was like, what is she talking about? Like, if there's like a backpack sitting in the gallery, make sure you report it. I'm kidding, but that's immediately where my head went because of like big.
I definitely thought of Bart.
Bart and yeah. Sitting there looking at those ads for years on end.
Yeah.
And then she succinctly clarified. I was like, oh yeah, good one. Just like call shit as you see it, man.
Okay, but Maysoon, like, that's hard too.
It's hard, and I think there are a few people who are doing it, and they are, I think that they get shit for it.
Yeah.
Like, can we give examples? Is that rude?
If you want.
I feel like Anu Vikram, for example.
Sure.
She is willing to put herself out there in a hardcore way and completely disagree with what everyone is saying is okay. And, you know, I think she puts herself in a, not intentionally, but I think it puts her in a position of like people not wanting,
She's taken some risks for sure.
She's taken a lot of risks. And I honestly salute her for that. I think she's an incredible person.
Anu actually responded to us on Twitter.
Oh, she did?
When I said,
oh,
so
awesome.
This was my tweet to the world on the bird world. The art world doesn't seem to have a clear code of ethics. What would an ethical art world look like to you? And she said, equitable, transparent, artist-driven, inclusive, accessible, intellectual, but not elitist.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I agree, like, that if you see something, say something. I think that's hard to do.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, especially if there's somebody who's, like, on a higher level than you for whatever reason.
Yeah. I guess I'd like to figure out how to do that. You know, I mean, I think I can do that with friends, you know, if I'm talking, having a conversation.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And saying why I didn't like a show and trying to really, you know, be clear about very specific examples of why I didn't like something.
Yeah, not just because it's bad, but because whatever. You feel like it's violating some ethical standard.
There's a real problem with it for whatever reason. And then there's people like Anu who takes the further step and like writes about it.
Out to the world with her name on it.
And, you know, Lord knows, I'm sure she's gotten a lot of different kinds of reactions over the years, you know, like some, I'm sure a lot of support, definitely. And I'm sure a lot of people pushing back and you know, it's like, she's just really, she's really taking that step, and a number of other writers for sure. But I mean, that's obviously a good place to do that.
Okay. Who else called in?
Hey, what's up, Maysoon and Kate? This is Kevin B. Chung calling, and calling to congratulate you guys for the 1 year anniversary. So the one rule of thumb that I would like to see in the art world is a notion of treating colleagues with respect and viewing those that you work with on projects or exhibitions or events as partners in the creative pursuit. Attitudes of entitlement, either coming from an artist, a curator, a gallery owner, gallery or museum staff, can really make for an unpleasant working experience and can really undermine the flow and exchange of ideas, and many times new ideas that weren't even thought about at the start of the project. So that's my contribution. Hope you guys are doing good, and see you both soon.
Kevin Beechen.
I was really wishing that we were not on a voicemail, but in conversation, because I'm sure that this sounds like there's a story behind it, or many stories.
Well, yeah, for him, I'm sure. I'm sure he's worked with so many outside curators on shows.
I heard it, I was thinking douchebag artist.
Douchebag artists who like abuse the interns, the curator, that were working, the curator and the intern and the preparators, everyone who was working with them to make their show what it was.
That's garbage.
Which takes you back to Christine Wong Yap's point.
Don't be, if there's one thing that's easy to control, just don't be a dick artist.
Well, but I think, don't you think some of that, I agree with you, obviously. Sometimes there's a reason to be a dick.
Advocate for the devil.
I think sometimes people are dicks because they're stressed out and don't know how to manage that. So it's also sort of like, learn how to manage your shit, people.
How do they survive life?
They're dicks.
Does their family hate them?
Maybe.
Maybe that's why they're dicks. Aww. I'm sorry.
See, Kate?
Everyone needs free therapy. We wouldn't even need
Should that be one of our codes?
Yes.
Free therapy provided.
See, we wouldn't need any of this if like our actual world had any real ethics, you know?
God.
Anyhow, moving right along. Here's a little shorty, a shorty but a sweetie from Nia King.
Attribution, attribution, attribution. If you borrow, appropriate, or steal something from somebody, you better tell people where you got it.
Okay, Maysoon, I totally agree with this one, to attribute if you take things from people.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes you just shouldn't be doing it at all. Richard Prince, you suck. Here's one from Veronica Graham and Fischl and Weiss.
I found this hard. So I'm stealing somebody else's words to respond. And I don't know if they're ethics or if they're just sort of rules to live by as far as like working with other people and collaborating. So this is from David Weiss and Peter Fischl. They're two artists that work together or used to work together, and it's how to work better. So the first thing is do one thing at a time. The second is know the problem. The third is learn to listen. Fourth is learn to ask questions. And I'd add here, learn to observe. That's my own personal input. And then five is distinguish sense from nonsense. Six, accept change is inevitable. Seven, admit mistakes. Eight, say it simple. And nine, be calm. And finally, 10, smile. So I think those are all good things to think about and to consider when you're working with other people.
That's a great one. I don't think I ever saw those before. Or if I did, I forgot about it. So thank you, Veronica. Weston Teruya was very, very sweet and called in. He talked a little bit fast, and you know, the voicemail's not exactly NPR grade quality. So Maysoon, could you give us that one?
All right.
Do a dramatic reading.
A dramatic reading. My suggestion is to be clear and cognizant of issues of power and privilege and how that intersects with your work and interactions with people. Avoid or be upfront about conflicts of interest, but also strive for positions of influence and push for space to learn from other voices, forms of knowledge, and art making.
I love it.
I thought that was awesome.
I love him. I love all these people. And I love you, listener. And then our super secret extra, my favorite art historian, Julia Bryan Wilson. I emailed her asking her also this question. And this is what she said.
Kate is fucking freaking out.
Anyhow, Julia Bryan Wilson, personal hero. Here was her response to this question. I would like to think that if there were an art world code of ethics, it would include stipulations such as pay people for their work. I'm thinking of art handlers and interns. But also maybe don't overpay people for their work. Here I'm thinking of outrageous auction prices. Two, I actually would like to borrow the Wyoming cowboy one too. I sent her a few examples.
And I was like, what is that? I was having such a hard time understanding.
One of which was from the Cowboys Code of Ethics from Wyoming. And that one was, remember that some things aren't for sale. What's not for sale, Mason?
Your personal
integrity.
Your integrity. I'm going to say your personal values and morals.
Yeah. This podcast is not for sale, except we are on Stitcher now. Hey, guys, we're on Stitcher now.
What does that mean?
We've thrown our ethics out the window. I don't know what it is.
You're an idiot. You do too.
I don't really. I guess it's an app you can download and listen to podcasts. I really only did it for my friend Matt, who was like, oh, I haven't been listening to the podcast because it's not on Stitcher.
Whatever, Matt. Don't be so lazy.
Well, now it's on Stitcher.
Should don't be lazy be one of our code of ethics?
If you have a guideline or rule of thumb that you would like included in the
should it be the Bay Area Code of Ethics?
The Bay Area Art World?
Code of Ethics?
Okay.
Because otherwise we've got to really reach out to lots of other people.
Yeah, the art world is global, so.
Right. That's going to be kind of intense.
And maybe there should be different ones in different places. Mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know.
That was definitely something that came up for me as I was reading about ethics. Just like where the... It seems like the way we're looking at it or the way I've been reading about it, it's coming from this very like Western white male sort of perspective. Like, I mean, it's coming from like the Greek
you
philosophers.
You mean like the ones where it's like, don't make your wife cook three pies a day, only.
I think just like where the idea comes from is like from Greek philosophy and
theory.
And it's just it really made me in my mind think about like what about everyone else in the world that maybe has like a different way of looking at the world than through a Western lens specifically.
I'm imagining every civilization has rules that you have to adhere to.
Right.
I feel like we've been operating in an art world with no ethical code. Let's see what it's like if we have one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like there are some problems that we wouldn't mind ironing out.
This, for some reason, is reminding me of a conversation I had this weekend with a woman about religion.
Uh-huh. How's it different from religious codes?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because we're not going to tell people how to cut the tip of their dick off.
Oh, my God. But we could, listeners. We could.
If you wanted that to be included, write it in.
I'm going to write that one in.
You know what I mean? We're not going down deep into their most personal life and like their thoughts. You know what I mean?
It might be.
Okay, I don't know. We'll see what people come up with. I feel like maybe every time we interview someone, we should ask them this question. Okay, school should be free.
Hell yeah.
I'm actually working on a project about art world utopias.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that there should be more places to sit. You know, another voice I wish we had for this.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
I just think there should be.
What are you talking about? There should be more places to sit?
people also really want a more diverse audience.
Yep.
Not just that the voices we hear are diverse, but who's allowed to hear them is also diverse.
That's accessibility. Right.
Everyone there, huh? Should have a fair wage. There shouldn't be any superstars. Everyone shows together. So if you're having like your Guggenheim, whatever bullshit, Dick Johnson, who just graduated from Oakland High School, should also be in that show. Guillermo Gomez Pena did a really good one about art world utopias. He had better ideas than anybody. But one of the things was no art can sell for more than $300. You
that's
hate that?
That's a nice idea.
Okay. Well, these are all nice ideas, Maysoon. No one's like everyone's never going to be all be nice to each other. You know what
How are you going to make a living off $300 in San Francisco, people?
So you think art should sell for like 50 grand?
No. Fine. Everyone, you can sell the work for $300.
Should sell for more than $300.
Great. I can afford that at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Not so bad.
Then we're not as reliant on like the 0.0001% to be propping this whole thing
Fuck
up.
Fuck them. Sorry.
Also, no more artist statements. No more project proposals.
What's wrong with an artist statement? I like those.
Everyone should have
they're well-written.
Basic income, artists and non-artists alike. Free drug rehabilitation. Free food. Free water.
Man, you got to move to Scandinavia, Kate.
Or we could have Scandinavia here.
No, we can't. Not possible.
Maysoon, that is the opposite of what ethics are all about. It's all about appealing to the ideal person to make everyone like the highest person... to achieve like
Look
the
who's
highest
high now sorry
to oh achieve God, sorry. To like hold the like highest ideal and strive for that and not just be like well that's not possible like no shit it's not possible but we're gonna try
maybe this isn't the project for me
oh that's fine so anyhow I hope everyone got something out of this 5.5 hour ramble.
The question is, why are there so many assholes in the world? If so many people we talk to think a major code of ethics should be, you know, treat people how you want to be treated.
Because we only talk to 10 people. And I think it is because there's no clear code of ethics. And like, you know, like Wofford said, like people can do things and they never get called out for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it only like goes under the surface where we all kind of gossip about shit, but nobody actually does anything. And you can think that somebody's the biggest fucking antichrist in the world. But if they're going to like, you know, hold out some little opportunity for you, you're going to take it. Because why challenge someone when all that's going to happen is they're going to hate you?
Challenge them? Really?
I mean... Be real, man. Like, we're all, you know, we're all implicated in that.
There's no one you would say no to.
It's easy for me to say this as, like, the fucking peon. You know what I mean? Where it's not like fucking Jeffrey Deitch is going to come knock down my door for a show. You know what I mean? But at this moment, sitting in my on my living room floor, I would want to say yes, there are people I would turn down.
Yeah. I wonder who Walker like, was talking about.
I also liked Christine Wong Yap said about, like, think of an artist that you think that you respect and think about what they would do. I definitely have people like that in my life who I actually will ask.
Yeah.
Like, this Julia is coming Bryan up Wilson. And I don't know what to do. Or, like, Christian Frock I've emailed about things. Yeah. Listeners, we'd love to hear your opinions about all these things. Go ahead and call in. 419-351-6606. You can email us congratulationspinetree@gmail.com or you can send us a tweet at @PineTreePodcast. We're going on vacation.
Woohoo!
For the next 2 weeks, there won't be a new episode. I don't know if there might be some kind of secret surprise. Maysoon, happy 1 year Pine Tree anniversary.
Pine Tree anniversary.
Pine Tree anniversary.
Pine Tree University.
And we want to thank for our 1 year, we want to thank Katie Kondo, our research assistant, Jimbo Trout, our opinions assistant. All the four cats involved in this show.
Aww.
And one dog. And everyone that came on the show, of course, in the last year.
All of you.
And all our listeners.
All our listeners.
Do you have a heartfelt something you want to say to the listeners?
It's been really nice not hearing you. Just kidding.
That's our real goal for the next year.
It's not my goal. It's your goal. I don't care if they don't comment all the time.
I want nothing but comments.
I know.
Oh, wait. Actually, now that I think about all the comments, there was one more person that wrote in. Mel Prest, who actually gave the whole prompt for this whole thing.
I know. Good job, Mel.
Actually,
way to get it going.
Sent back. So what would a ethical art world look like? She said, honesty, flattened hierarchy, and transparency.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just need to get it all written down in a nice PDF.
We're working on a book. A small pamphlet.
Uh-huh. So we'll see you again by not seeing you and not hearing you in 3 weeks. But until then, congratulations. You listened to another episode of Congratulations Pine Tree. I hope you listen to every episode. If you haven't, they're all available at congratulationspinetree.com. We probably should start telling people that.